Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Happy Father's Day. Come on, let's give our dads a hand today. So good to see you. What a privilege it is for me to have the opportunity to speak to you on Father's Day and to be here worshiping with you. You know, something always special happens when we gather and we worship God together. It's not like a group of us going to Walmart and something special happens there. But when we gather and we worship together, God does something and He's already moving in our midst. And so this morning we get to seek God, expect Him to change us, expect Him to meet us where we're at, and to challenge us and move us forward in a fresh new way. Today is Father's Day, and I'm so glad, dads, that you're here. You could be at home watching the steaks marinate, but you are here with us. Thank you for that. It's a privilege to be celebrating this day with you today. You know, all of us, many times Father's Day, when it comes around, we think about dads, and we think about maybe a father who wasn't perfect, and then we're reminded that we also are not perfect. I just so all the dads can be at ease, how many people in here are not perfect? Oh, great. All right. So this is going to be good because we can only become what God wants us to become by the grace of God that's pulsing and moving through our veins. The moment that you think it's about you is the moment you become self-reliant, and guess what? You fail. It is only by God's grace that you can be a father and you can be a dad, and any of us can follow Jesus Christ. So today, my hope is that God would do something very special in our lives. The tone of today's message is going to be directed at men. Let me hear a big grunt from all the men in the room. You ready? Do it. Man, that's good. See? It's just refreshing, isn't it? That's wonderful. And my hope for you as dads and fathers, as men, before you leave today, that you would be encouraged and you would be infused with God's plan for your life as men and a father. That's my hope. And my hope for those of us children in the room, that you would leave here today with a fresh appreciation for the role of your dad and for the role of your father. If you're a wife here today, I pray that you leave here and you are so thankful for your husband and for your father. If you're a single mom today, I really hope that you leave here with a fresh understanding of maybe some areas that you can strengthen yourself as you raise your children and as you raise your sons and daughters. And if you're here today and you brought your boyfriend, you came to the right Sunday, because you're going to hear some good stuff about the characteristics of a man. And if you're looking to be married, if you're a woman here today and you're looking to be married, or you're a man here today and you're looking to get married, I really believe you're going to leave here today with an understanding of what a man is and what you should be, and for you ladies, what you should be looking for. Does that sound like a lot of fun? All right, we're going to begin the journey today. You know, we live in a society that's desperate for fathers. You don't have to be a genius to look around and see that the world is a wreck, and there is a mess of people that are living their lives outside of an authority. And a matter of fact, we live in a world that's constantly degrading. They're constantly assaulting the role of masculinity in the world. A matter of fact, we live in a society that even champions those who leave what God has called them to leave and go and change who they are and become something else. And we champion that. We call that a hero. But I believe you today that the Bible can articulate what a man is supposed to be. Do you believe me? Do you believe that the church should be the place that the world should be looking to find out what a real man looks like? I believe that's our role as a church. My heart is this, is that the world around us, the society we live in, can say, hey, listen, why are those families prospering in the church? And they come, they look at us, and they realize that it's because the fathers have been empowered, they've been equipped, that they understand their role in the family, and that the church understands what masculinity is all about. I mean, many times we have two separate sides. Many times media portrays a father as a bumbling idiot, someone who can't do anything, who is just flopping around and can't even put a sentence together. On the other side, it portrays a father as someone who's degrading, who's aggressive, who's maybe abusive, who's domineering. But that's not the way God portrays a father. And I believe there are characteristics in Scripture that we can look at, and we can pull out, we can infuse them into the life of us dads, and we can leave here today with a fresh understanding of who we are as men and what God wants us to do with our lives, because God's called us to be men. And God's called us to live a life that is articulated and lived out through this lens. And if we live it out through this lens, we will discover why we were made, how you're to lead your family and children and wives, how we are to support and love our husbands. So, something to talk about and to think about before we get into these points today. I want just to present this to you as we cover five characteristics of a father. For you men, every position you hold today, every title that goes before your name, every position you hold on the board or in your job can and will be replaced by somebody else at some point. We all know that. Someone will come after you and replace you. There's only one position that you hold in your life that will never be replaced, and that is your role as a father. No one else can father and be the father of your children. So I believe God wants to bring a pointed message to us men, and that's my heart today. So Lord Jesus, we give you this time. Father, we look to you today that you would encourage us, you would strengthen us, you would set our hearts on fire, that we as men and fathers in this room would leave here with a new understanding, an impartation, an empowerment to be who you've called us to be. The God that you would allow us to step up and to change, that you would move in our lives and through us, that God, everyone would leave here with a fresh appreciation of the role of a dad and the role of a father. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. So number one, we're going to step straight into it, a characteristic of a father. Or if you're a man and you're going to be a father, this is one of the characteristics that you're going to have. And it's this: you need to be a protector. And we're pulling all of these points out of the heart of God and who he is in Scripture. He's the best father example on the planet, or in the universe, or however you want to articulate that. But we can look to him, and his characteristics are the same as what should be inside of us as men. And so we are, as a father, a protector. God said this in Psalm 91. He says this: 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Here is a posture of a father who's protecting his children, who's keeping watch. A man should be protective. He is concerned with the well-being of his family, of his children. He stands on watch. And you know, a protector can have different faces depending on what situation you're in, depending on what's happening in the family. And maybe for some of you dads who have teenagers, maybe a protector maybe sounds like this: hey, son, what time are you going to be home? Or, sweetheart, who are you riding with? Who's going to be at the house? Are the parents going to be home? Is the older brother going to be there? Now, why would a father even ask these questions? Why would a father even care to ask these questions? Because he's protecting his family. He's doing his best to protect, to ask questions, to understand, are you going to a safe place? Because he cares about those who he's watching over, and it's his job to make sure that they are safe. Another way a father protects his children is by teaching them to get up when they fall down. Now, families, we are very familiar with this, maybe, that when Johnny falls down and the mama runs over to him and she says, are you all right? Are you okay? What does dad tell Johnny? Son, you need to get up. God, son, you need to press on. Sweetheart, come on, you're going to be all right. Come on, just try to shake it off. You got to keep moving. Get back on the bike. Get back on the swing. Keep moving. Keep pressing forward. Come on, shake it off. Let me wipe your tears. You can do it. You can press through. You can overcome. Now, how is that protecting that child? Well, see, dad knows one day Johnny or whoever else is going to have some disappointments. He's going to fall down. He's going to struggle. Life isn't going to turn out the way he thought it was going to turn out. He's going to get something in his life is going to happen where maybe he's going to fall down. And guess what? When he's 21 years old, mama will not be there to run up and kiss him and tell him it's going to be all right. He's going to have to learn. I remember dad told me to get up. I'm going to press through. I'm going to overcome. I'm going to keep going because my dad taught me to get up. My dad taught me to protect me. And that's what he's doing. A father is encouraging his children to keep moving, keep pressing on, because he wants to protect them even as they get older. Another thing that a father does is a father disciplines his children. Now, the scripture says that if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. I just want to clarify something. The rod is not a club. The rod is not abuse. The rod is not something done in anger and flippantly done just to punish a child. A rod signifies discipline. And why is it important to discipline your children? Because you teach them how to be under authority. You teach them that one day you're going to live in the real world, son or daughter, and that you're going to have to learn to come under authority. You're going to have to, if you're going to succeed, you're going to have to learn to work under authority. But most importantly, you're going to have to learn to submit to your heavenly Father, who you're going to serve, and you're going to be underneath his authority. And so there is a discipline given. Why? Because the father wants to protect his child so when he's older, he can succeed and he can understand what it means to be a man or a woman under authority. He's protecting them. God gives a father a family. And his job as a father is to give that family back to God, having done all that he could to protect them and to keep them, because that is our responsibility as a father. We are protectors. That's who God has made us to be. A father is a protector. He's a protector against the enemy. He's a protector against evil men and evil women in the world. He's a protector against stress. He's a protector against the influences of the world that would try to come in, that would try to influence, that would try to direct and lead a family astray, which happens all the time in our world. Someone has to stand watch over the family. Someone has to say, this is the way I want things to go, because I want things to go the way that God wants them to go. That's why the Bible, or Paul, lays out a leadership structure in 1 Corinthians 11. Now, dads, I want you to hear this today. Moms, I want you to hear this today. Children, I want you to hear this today so you can understand. This is not about a power trip. This is about lining up the way that we live our lives according to how God wants them to live. And in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul lays out this protection structure. He says this: I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Paul articulates there is God, there is Christ, there is man, and there is woman. He's not saying the man or woman, one is more important than the other. Actually, they are exactly the same in importance, but they are not exactly the same in role when it comes to do with the family. And what does it mean to speak of a head? What does that mean? A head is simply a covering. It is a protection. It is how God created it. Yes, God is the ultimate protection in your home. But fathers and men, we have a significant responsibility to protect our family. It's our call. It's who God has made us to be. Another role of protector is to confront danger and to keep it at a distance from our own family. That's our role as a father. We are men. That's what we do. Something in us is pulsing through our veins to confront danger, to keep danger away from our family. I'll never forget when I was probably 13 years old. I woke up in the middle of the night, and it sounded like a ruckus was going on downstairs at home. And I heard some plates moving around. I heard all the stuff going on. I thought, oh, my gosh. So I went across the hall to my mom and dad's room. I said, Dad, there's someone downstairs. And my dad sat up. That's really not something you want to hear in the middle of the night. There's someone downstairs. And he heard it, and he took off out of the room like a lightning bolt, went down the stairs, and I'm standing at the top of the stairs thinking, I hope I see my dad again. And all of a sudden, the light came on, and all of a sudden I heard my dad, you better get out of here. He was shouting, and all of a sudden I heard the door slam, I saw the light go off, and my dad comes back up the stairs. I said, Dad, who was it? He said, Son, someone left the door open, and the dog jumped up on the counter and was licking all the plates. But I'll never forget the response of my dad. I mean, he didn't know it was the dog licking his plates. He was going down to find out what in the world is going on. And the role of the father is to protect his family. Listen, why didn't I go, hey, mom, there's someone downstairs. Why? Because that's not her role. Within the confines of a home where there's a husband and a wife, the role of the husband is to confront danger when necessary and to be the one that protects. And we are to protect our families in the natural world and the spiritual world. It's just not one side, Braveheart, it's the other side of spiritual protection that we give over our family. And there are things, families, I want you to hear me for a second. There are things that a man is protecting his family from that you know nothing about, that you will never feel, nor will you ever sense. There are weights that your husband and father carries that you don't know. And you don't know because it's not your role to carry them. It's his job. He's a protector of the family. The man is the one out front. And if a leader is the one out front, when trouble comes to your family, when trouble comes to your house, guess who it's going to meet first? You. You're the one out front. Just like if you're in a storm and the winds are blowing and the hail is coming, which we've had plenty of the last several weeks, and you stand behind a house, and all of a sudden you step out of the brunt of that storm, who's taking the force? The house is taking the force. Why don't you feel it? Because the house is feeling it. It's the same way with the man and the father. That's what your role is. That's who you are. You're the protector of your home. And so the family tucks in behind you because they can trust you. Because God has anointed you as the protector of your home. Whether you feel like it, whether you think it should be or not, whether your family thinks it should be or not, God says, men, you are to protect your home. It's our role. Many times families don't know that the father protects them until maybe a father goes away on a trip. It happens all the time in my house. When I'm gone, everything breaks down. The kids go nuts. The refrigerator stops working. The car gets a flat tire. Something happens in the backyard. The sprinkler system breaks. And I mean, the last two times I left, one of our animals died. The last one, I got a text. I was in Texas, and all I got a text from my wife was this: Jason King. That's all it was. And I read the tone. And I called her back. I said, what's going on? She goes, a guinea pig died. And I've got to pick this stiff thing up all by myself. And she was laughing on the phone. I was trying to walk her through it. I know that's just a small little thing, but there are much larger things that happen. And families, you feel it when the husband is gone from the home because he's the protector. He's the one that God has set in place to protect you. Another unseen stresses and concerns. As I said earlier, there are things that only men can carry. And if we were to share all the stresses and all the maybe sometimes the anxieties that we're wrestling with our children or with our wife, we would be bringing them into danger. We would not be protecting them. So as a man, many times there are things we deal with between these two ears that you will never know about. Because it's our role. It's our job. And we protect you because that is who God has asked us to be. We are the one out front, and we are the one who will deal with it. Fathers, you are protectors, and I want to thank you today for protecting your family. Have you been perfect? No, you haven't. But as you know, none of us in the room are perfect, or we wouldn't need a Savior. We are constantly growing, constantly becoming who God wants us to be. Another characteristic of a father and of a man is he is a promoter. And we find the nature of this from God himself out of Ephesians chapter 2. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. God promoted us. God lifted us up. God sent his son so that all would put their trust in Jesus Christ. He can lift us up and put us seated with him in heavenly places. That blows my mind. God used all of his influence and all that he was. He became all that we were so that we could become all that he is and put us in heavenly places. He was a promoter, and so is a father. Being a promoter is about being able to promote someone else than yourself. Something to know is that God did not give us dads a family to promote us. He did not put a wife, a beautiful wife, and kids around us to make us look better. God gave us a wife and children and a family so that we can make them look better because of who we are. The gifts and talents that you possess today are not so that you can succeed. They are there so that you can make your family succeed, so you can set the course of your children, of your wife, and you can make them succeed with who you are. God himself went out of his way to publicly affirm his son, Jesus Christ. When he was baptized, Jesus came up out of the water. The Father spoke from heaven and said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." Then he said this, "Listen to what he says." God promoted his son. He affirmed him in the eyes of the people. And we as fathers are called to affirm our children and our wives and encourage them to be what God wants them to be, not what we want them to be, but to be what God wants them to be. There is a time that we as fathers realize life is not about me. It's about my children. It's about my wife. And me making sure they become everything that they can possibly be. The fact is, men, the enemy is not just fighting you for you. Is he fighting you? Yes, he is. Does he want to make you stumble? Yes, he does. But he's not doing that for your sake. All of us men here today and fathers in this room, we have limps and we walk with limps and we have dysfunctions in our life, and those dysfunctions and limps came from probably something that happened to you when you were a child. That's why they're there. So the enemy fights you, and he tries to mess with you between your two ears, and he tries to get to you. Why? So that you do something stupid, so that you react in a certain way, so that you'll respond to your children in a way that passes on your same limp, your same dysfunction onto your children. Now, some people call it generational curse. Some people call it learned behavior. I don't know what you call it, but all I know is the enemy would love for you to pass your limp and my limp and our dysfunctions on to our children. And so we as men, we resist the devil. We come against him in Jesus' name. We refuse to pass on where we are broken, where we are hurting onto our own children. Why? Because that is who we are. That is our role. We are a promoter. That we will one day stand back and watch our children walk away from our house, and we will rejoice, and we'll say, "It's only by God's grace." And we can say, "Sweetheart, look, they don't limp like I limp." And they'll walk straight up, and they'll carry themselves differently, and they'll speak differently, and we will equip them to be everything and more than what we ever could have been, because we were a promoter in the life of our children. That's what a father is. That's what we are called to do as men. A third characteristic of a man and of a father is that a father is a provider. Philippians 4:19 says this, "My God," or "my Father, shall supply all your needs, all my needs according to his riches in glory." The very heart of God is a provider. The very characteristic of a father is a provider. Man was created in the image of God. In other words, he has the very DNA of God himself. You do, men, pulsing through your veins. And God himself is called in Scripture, he is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Now, provision is a strange thing. And what does it mean to be a provider? All I know, I do know this, that deep in the heart of every man is an identity from the Father to be a giver, not a taker. And when we hear the word provider, we always think of money. We always think of cash. We think of toys. We think of houses. We think of cars. We think of college tuition. That's what we think of. But a provider is so much more than money. Money is just touching the surface. A man is called to be a provider, one who is generous in nature. His heart is to give. His heart is to serve his family. Why? Because that is God's heart. And why? Because that is who God has made you to be. He just doesn't provide money. But a father, in every situation, he can provide wisdom. He can provide counsel for you. He's a provider of insight. He's a provider of safety. He's a provider of friendship. He's a provider of camaraderie. He brings the family together. He reminds the family, we are friends. And he provides this atmosphere in his home that says, we're going to be together. We're going to stick together because we are a family. And I'm going to provide these things for you. Many times a father provides perspective when everything in the house is going nuts, when everyone else has their own crazy everything going on. A father says, hey, hang on one second. Let's just get some perspective of what's going on. He provides the substance of life for the family. Why? Because he's in it. Because he's there. Because his DNA of a provider is flowing from him into the life of the family. He is contributing. This isn't about who makes the most money in the home. This is about the man who is contributing. He's working hard. He's doing his best to provide for the family. Some families, and I've been around them sometimes, they put so much pressure on the man to give me. To give me, give me, give me. Give me my toys. Give me what I want. I want this and I want that. And the man has so much pressure just to provide financial things. But a provider is not about getting everything or getting everybody the toys that they want. It's about being sensitive to the needs of the family, about being sensitive to the needs of the individual, and doing your best to meet those needs with the wisest way possible that will help ensure and strengthen the future for your family. That's what a provider does. Men, we were created to be providers. And I do know this in our culture, and I had the great honor of being in youth ministry for 8 to 10 years, and I served faithfully in it. But all I know is this, is that young men in our church and young men in our society need to know that masculinity is about doing whatever it takes to provide for your family, to bring provision financially, to bring provision emotionally, to bring provision spiritually and physically, to be protectors and providers, givers, not takers. Fathers, I want to thank you for providing for your family the best that you know how. Another characteristic of a father is he is a priest. And you may be thinking, are you joking, Jason? You're calling me a priest today. I am. I call you a priest because God calls you a priest. You're a priest whether you feel like it or not. You're the priest of your home. Hebrews chapter 9 says this, but only the high priest enter the inner room, and that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins the people had committed in ignorance. The high priest went in and he confessed and he got his life right before God. And then he went on behalf of the people before God. That's what a priest does. The role of the priest was to do this. And that's our role as a father, to go before God on behalf of our family, behalf of your wife, behalf of your children, to seek God's favor, to seek God's mercy, to seek God's grace, to seek God's patience to lead them, to proclaim and speak over them, to pray on behalf of the people. This is our role as dads. And if we're going to be a godly man, if we're going to lead our family, if we're going to be the priest of the home, we're going to have to go before God. And what this simply means is that you're going to have a prayer life. Men, God has called us to be men of prayer. Prayer is not something a woman does at a prayer meeting. Prayer is something we do. We do it every day of our life. We wake up, we get in the car, we in the shower, we think, God, help us today. Help my family today. Doesn't mean you have to go somewhere and pray, put a prayer shawl over your head. You just pray and you ask God to give you wisdom. You ask God, you pray for your children. You pray that your wife would have a sense of peace and comfort. She would know God better. That the children, they would be protected from the things of the world. That God, you would protect my children's innocence. That God, you would give them a soft heart. That you'd allow them, God, to run back to you when they need you. That you would guard them, that you put a hedge of protection around them. It's simply that. It's praying. It's interceding. It's going before God on behalf of your family. And it's also going to God and saying this, hey, God, just so you know, I can't carry this burden all by myself. You can't carry the burden of your family alone, my friends. You can't do it. You may think you're the manliest man on the planet, but if you try to carry it all on your own, you will break, you will crack, you will snap, and all of a sudden, you will begin to see things in your life begin to crumble if you try to carry it on your own. The sins of the past will begin to come in. You'll find yourself turning to maybe drinking too much and to turning to this and turning to that, and all of a sudden, you will find yourself going down a slippery slope. Why? Because you're trying to carry it all on your own, and God does not want you to do that. God says, cast all your cares on me, for I am the one that cares for you. We must cast your cares on the Lord, just not for yourself, but for your family. Because you need God. And how you interact with him is through this thing called a prayer life. Because your kids are going to bring you trouble. Your in-laws are going to bring you trouble. Your parents are going to bring you trouble. Your siblings are going to bring you trouble. Life happens. And most of the time, life happens means it's trouble. You're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to roll with it. And we're going to have to learn to say this, God, I can't do it on my own. But God, I trust you. You're a faithful God. You haven't failed me yet. And even when I feel like things are on the edge, I know you are with me. And I give you everything that I have. I give it to you and I trust you. There's no one else on the planet who can pray for your wife or your children like you. There's no one else. You are the priest of your home. And we pray by God's grace every day to lead them, for God to lead their lives. We put in the effort to be familiar with our family, to know what they're struggling with, to know what our kids are dealing with, to know what our wife is struggling through. We put the effort in. We go out of our way to figure out what's going on so that we can pray for them. We can lift them up in prayer. This is what God wants for us. That as we seek God, none of us fathers want to stand back and watch our homes fall apart. None of us fathers want to see things break down. And so we press into God. We pray. We call on his name. As there is a scripture in Chronicles that says, if my people who were called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal their land. I know this. In my own family, there is land that still needs to be healed. And I know in my own life, there are things that still need to be healed. But the key to living this pure, healed life is this thing called a prayer life. The key to a family healed is prayer. Because you can't come to God in a genuine fashion without really knowing, man, God, I need you to help me. God, I'm messing up. God, I need you to forgive me, to cleanse me, to keep my account short with you. God, I messed up yesterday, and I'm just coming to you today. And we begin to have this interaction and this relationship with God that he keeps us, and he holds us, and he holds our family as well. We're the priests of our home. That's what we're to do. We are the fathers of our homes. And we engage in a prayer life with God, and we will begin to see God heal our families and our home. I know for me personally, I pray for my children, but I don't pray for them as a pastor. I pray for my children from the higher position, which is their father. I seek God's purpose for their life. I speak over them. I pray for them. Why? Because it's my position. It is who I am. God has appointed every father in this house to be the priest of their home. I come to God on behalf of my family as their father, as the priest. There was a few weeks ago that Cheryl and I woke up in the middle of the night it just seemed like everything was going crazy. I know families, you've experienced this as well. There seemed to be a tangible fear in our house, and our children were responding to it. I mean, it was the real deal. And I sat up and I saw the torment and destruction, and I sensed all of that was happening with our kids. And something inside of me said, enough is enough. Satan, if you want to try to mess with me, that's one thing, but don't you dare start messing with my kids. And let me tell you something. I reminded the enemy, and I did it verbatim. I reminded him, I'm the priest of this house, and God is the priest of me. So let me tell you something, what's going to happen. Satan, you're going to hit the door. You're going to leave, and don't let the door hit you on your way out. And I began to worship God and declare his goodness in the midst of my home, and a sense of peace came into my house. Well, Jason, how could you do that? Because I'm the only one there that God has appointed to do that. Because that's my role. That's my job. And we can do that as the priests of our home, as we proclaim and we have a prayer life and we stand in guard and in watch over our children and over our wives. Men, you are the priest of your home. And God has set you over your home as the authority of your home. And you need to know something, that you're just not the only one hanging out there, but you have an authority, but you also a man under authority. And that authority is in God himself. And I want to remind you that God has never known the meaning of defeat. I want to remind you, no one has ever pushed his nose into the dirt and taught him what that means. He is a victorious God, and he's the one who is over you. He's the one that is over your family. So let me encourage you, access some of that authority and exercise that into your family. You're not alone. And I want to thank you, fathers, for being the priest of your home and doing the best that you can possibly do with what you have. Thank you for being a priest. And the final point today, that if you're going to be a man, if you're going to be a father of your home, you're going to be a prophet. You're going to be a prophet. A prophet proclaims God's word over individuals, over situations. This goes the same for fathers. God calls us to do our best, to always have his perspective in every situation. Are we always going to have it? No, we're not. But our calling is to seek that and pursue that. And we are to proclaim his perspective over any given situation that we find ourselves in or that our families find themselves in. Our responsibility is to speak God's truth, to speak God's purpose, to speak God's destiny over our families' lives. When our children are struggling, our job is to see past all of the mess that they're dealing with, everything else that's going on in their life, and a prophet sees past the mess and begins to call forth what God has for that child. It jumps the trauma and gets to the destiny and will of God. This is what a prophet does. And what a prophet maybe sounds like in a home is, sweetheart, listen, you may have failed, but you are not a failure. Your life is not over, that I'm going to get you from here to there. God's going to get you from here to there. Or maybe it sounds like this. Hey, listen, son, everybody may have given up on you. Everyone may have turned your back on you, but I'm telling you, I'm asking you, you got to get up. You got to keep walking. You got to keep moving, because I'm with you. God's with you. We're going to push through this. God has a plan and a purpose and a life for you that you will possess. Do you hear me? A prophet speaks life into situations that seem terrible. Or maybe the enemy's bringing confusion into your home and you can sense it, and there's maybe double-mindedness in certain areas. And all of a sudden, a prophet brings the truth of God's word into the home and says, hey guys, I know we're thinking this and this and this and this, but let me just clarify what God's word says about this situation. Let me just clarify about what God's word says about this decision we're about to do, or what we're about to do, or what we're about to watch, or what we're about to entertain in our home. Let me just clarify what God's word says. And that's what a prophet does. He draws a line in the sand and says, this is what God says. So let's do our best to meet that. Or when everyone else in the house many times is dealing with disappointment or tragedy or questions or negative conclusions the prophet, the father, speaks into that which seems doomed. He calls people to a higher place. He doesn't give in to what seems to be the reality. And he says, no, I believe that God has a plan. I believe that there is something better for you. I believe that God has a hope and a future for me. And he speaks joy to where there is ashes. He speaks life to where there seems to be death. He speaks clarity where there seems to be confusion. Because that is the role of a father. That, my friends and fathers, is what God has called you to live. There's an example of this out of Genesis 35. A powerful example. Rachel and Jacob have a child. And this is the story. After a very hard delivery, the midwife finally exclaimed, "Don't be afraid." And she's speaking to Rachel. "You have another son." But Rachel was about to die. But with her last breath, she named the baby Benoni. The baby's father, however, called him Benjamin. Now, what's happening here? What's going on in the situation? Rachel, in her great turmoil, in her pain, in her confusion, in her last breath, she names this child Benoni, which actually means son of my sorrow. And she marks this child with a negative name. And she set the trajectory of this child to be one who would be known son of pain, son of sorrow, son of destruction, and ultimately son of death. But the father, Jacob, comes to the tent. He has to be grieving because his wife has died. And the midwife brings him this child. And she says, his name is Benoni. Jacob takes this baby. And he knows everything that's gone on. And he says, I'm going to call you Benjamin, which means son of my right hand, son of my strength. And Jacob refuses to let the tragedy mark the future of this young boy. And he speaks life into him. He changes his name and he changes the future of this child forever because Jacob stepped up as the prophet of his home. And he says, I'm not having that, but I'm proclaiming this over my child. Fathers, that's what you were called to be. You were called to be that man. Would it be great if this church is known because of our dads? Our dads won't give up. Hey, yeah, you see that kid? You know, everyone gave up on him. But his dad never gave up on him. The teachers gave up on him. The school system gave up on him. The police gave up on him. But that dad took that son, or took that daughter and said, son, sweetheart, I'm not giving up on you. God's got a plan for you. God's got a life for you. Yes, the chips may have fallen strange for you, but I'm telling you, I know the God who can remove the chips and we can start over. And all of a sudden, the community and society begins to say, what's happening in the families over there at Faith Bible Chapel? Those dads, man, they love kids when no one else will love them. They're providing for families when no one else is providing, and men are turning their back on their families. They're proclaiming God's goodness over the lives of their children. They're protecting them. They're standing up for them. They're making sure their teenagers are where they need to be, when they need to be there. When there's a violation, at any time they confront it. They say, not on my watch, I'm not going to have it. What's happening over there at Faith Bible Chapel? And it simply comes down to this. Dads and fathers are being the fathers and dads that God has called them to be. I believe that's our destiny. And you might be thinking today, Jason, it's a great, great message, thank you, but my kids are already gone. I blew it. They shot off. Well, listen, God calls our children arrows in our quiver, and yes, they may have been shot off, and the winds of life may have blown them astray, but I know a Heavenly Father who controls the wind and can bring them back to where they need to go. And I know that for your children as well. Fathers, you are not alone. and the burdens you carry. You were not alone in carrying them. You were not a failure. You are a father with a future. You are a father that God's hand is on. And let me remind you, you are a father that needs the grace of God. And thank God for His grace. And no matter what's going on in your family, today you can begin to operate in these roles again. You can pick up a phone and you can call a son. You can call a daughter. You can just say, sweetheart, I love you. God's got a plan for you. Son, I'm praying for you. I'm here for you. Let's make things right. You can do that. It's not too late. God's call in your life is to be a father, to lead your home, and to trust in His leadership over your life. And for us to see that work out into the life, not just in your life, but we're talking about generations. We're talking about children and grandchildren. That's what we're talking about. My friends, I'm so proud to be here with you today. And I believe God wants to affirm and call us as fathers to take the step to be the men that maybe we thought we can't be. And let me tell you something. You can't be these five men. You can't be these five things. You can't. But by the grace of God, you can. God never asked you to do something. God never asked you to give Him something that you don't possess. He just says, give me what you have. What do you have? All I have is brokenness. All I have is limps and dysfunction. All I have is pain. God says, then that'll do. Give that to me, and I will take care of these things for you. I'm just going to ask us, let's all stand. And we're going to sing this song out of response. And maybe God has spoken to some of you men, some of you mothers, some of you grandparents. But particularly for us fathers, I want you to remember the story of the boy with the two fish and five loaves. And before him was this great task of feeding 5,000 people. And Jesus said, does anyone have any food? And the boy said, I do. It seemed totally insignificant. But the boy gave the two fish and five loaves, and Jesus took what he had, and he blessed it. And he brought provision to all the needs that were in front of him. I want us to sing this song and let these words resonate deep in your heart and let God minister to you today.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.